I couldn't stand still. I put on my jogging gear and went for a run, starting through the quiet streets of the neighborhood, then taking a detour in the nearest park, which was bustling with activity even this late in the evening. I didn't feel at peace anywhere. When I was alone, I wanted to be with people, and when I was surrounded by a crowd, I wanted to be alone. Once I was back in my house, I showered. Damn it, I still had too much energy, so I did something I rarely did. I cleaned up the entire place. Not just your run-of-the-mill sweep. I went at it with full speed, scrubbing every corner, even moving furniture around. The tears came midway through the cleaning process. I tried keeping them at bay, but the effort was taking its toll, so I let go. While I was cleaning the rift between the kitchen tiles with a toothbrush, my thoughts flew to the breakup with Jeff all those years ago. I was 2 months pregnant, and he told me we had to talk. He was jittery, but he'd been so ever since I'd found out, so I didn't think much of it. I was nervous about the whole thing, too, so I understood. Then he broke the news to me that he was leaving me and the baby. He'd thought about it for weeks, and it was just too much responsibility for him. He wanted to become a doctor. He couldn't let this get in the way of his career. I pointed out that I'd already given up on med school, and I hadn't asked him to give up, too.
There will still be sleepless nights, Lori. Babies cry. They get sick. They need you all the time. I need to focus on school 100%.
You're an insensitive jackass, I said numbly.
I can't do it. It's too much.
He'd thrown my entire life off course that afternoon. I couldn't believe he'd asked Graham for money. The bastard. I was going to find him and shove that check up his ass. He'd probably cashed it, but I was confident I could find something else to shove up there instead. But that wouldn't make the other matter any better. The question remained, had it all been too much for Graham? I pressed three fingers to my collarbone, trying to alleviate the pressure there. It felt like my chest was strung together in a knot that grew tighter by the hour. By the time I finished cleaning the bathroom, the kitchen, and the living room, I was exhausted and fell asleep fully clothed. But my sleep was restless, and I woke up as if I hadn't gone to bed at all. After a cup of coffee, I resumed Project Clean the Hell Out of This House. I had the one bedroom and all hallways left. My mood was even grimmer than yesterday, and the quiet was closing in on me. I wasn't used to being alone. I grew up in a full house, and as a mother, I'd rarely had alone moments. Twice, I almost called my sisters, then changed my mind. I wasn't sure what to tell them, mostly because I couldn't make sense of everything myself. Sister telepathy had to be a thing, though, because Haley called around lunchtime. I was perched on a ladder, sweeping dust from the corners of the ceiling. "Hey, sis, what are you up to?" she asked.
"Cleaning my house."
After a brief pause, Haley asked, "Is the apocalypse coming?"
"Hey, I've been known to clean the house, once in a while."
"Usually when you have a shitty week. Want to tell me what's wrong?" I descended the ladder, sitting on the last rung and hugging my knees. "Graham and I had a fight last night." "I'm listening." "It's all fuzzy in my mind, honestly." "And maybe it'll all be clearer if you lay it out to me." My Haley, always with that sharp, analytical mind of hers.
"Okay, well, I think I felt that something has been off for a few weeks." I went on to tell her about Graham's encounter with Jeff and the problem with his dad.
I finished with all the crazy words we'd said last night.
"I don't know, Haley. That conversation was insane."
"Good thing you stopped before it got even more insane. People tend to say things they don't mean when tempers flare." The ladder was cutting into my back, so I moved to sit on the floor, resting my back against the wall. I didn't like that he just went rogue and gave Jeff money. I need to be aware of things that can impact Milo.
"Don't disagree, but I think his heart was in the right place."
"I know, but what if it was too much for him, though?"
"Okay, that's it. You can't be on your own. You'll think in circles and drive yourself crazy. Want to go to Annabelle's with me and Val? She said she received some new merchandise. It's always fun to poke around. And then we can hit up one of our favorites for a late lunch."
"Yes. God, yes. That's exactly what I need."
"But I thought you both had plans."
I distinctly remembered both of them chatting about their weekend plans during Friday's dinner.
"They fell through," Haley said. I wasn't going to look a gift horse in the mouth, so I jumped at the opportunity.
Meet you there in 40 minutes? She asked.
I might need an hour. Not sure how the traffic is, but I'll leave right away.
That's a plan.
After the line went static, I changed into a sundress and twisted my hair into a French braid. My mood improved drastically. I was ready to get out of my quiet, lonely house. It was so spotless that it was unnerving. I had to mess it up a bit when I returned. Annabelle's was a small shop in Pasadena, selling everything from incense to vintage jewelry trinkets to scarves and hats, and occasionally even shoes. The owner, Annabelle, had gone to school with us. She always called one of us when she thought we might like her new merchandise. My mood lifted a notch when I neared Pasadena. I could see the Colorado Springs Bridge in the distance, with its beautiful Beaux-Arts arches. I loved the neighborhood. The way the old blended with the new in this part of the city was incredible. I reached Annabelle's in 35 minutes. Her shop was on the ground floor of an old Victorian mansion that had a gray-tiled roof and pink facade. It smelled like jasmine incense when I stepped inside. Since this had once been a living quarters, the shop had multiple separate rooms. Annabelle was busy with a client in the main room, showing her a vintage pendant, but she pointed to the adjacent room where I found my sisters. They were the only customers inside, sorting through a pile of scarves and sipping teas. Annabelle always treated us to exotic teas. I kissed both my sisters on their cheeks and lifted the third teacup to my mouth.
Ouch, it's boiling.
Val slapped her forehead.
Sorry, we mixed ours with lukewarm water, but not yours. Didn't want it to get cold until you arrived.
She poured water from a small bottle in my cup. I tested the temperature by taking a small sip. It was pleasantly warm.
So how did you decide to come here?
Val shrugged.
We figured it was a fun thing to do together.
Something wasn't adding up.
Wait a minute. How did you two know I had time?
They'd known I'd planned to spend the weekend with Graham. Haley tilted forward and looked at Val.
I'm out of stealth maneuvers today. How about fessing up?
We were supposed to get her to relax first, Val countered. Haley cocked a brow.
Well, we already burned her tongue, so that ship has sailed.
What's going on?
Fine, let's tell her, Val said as I turned in her direction. Jace called this morning, said we should check on you.
In retrospect, the fact that Haley had listened to me so calmly instead of going into full mama bear mode should have tipped me off that she already knew something.
I filled Val in, but if you feel like it, you can tell us everything again, Haley said.
You're evil, making me rehash it.
Haley wrapped a green silk scarf around my neck, narrowing her eyes before removing it.
No, I'm not. I think it helps make things clearer.
I couldn't argue with that, so I started my tale again while trying out scarves. When I was done, my sisters exchanged looks.
I think Graham was simply having a rough moment, Haley said.
Lori, honey, sometimes we need time alone to process things. You do that. I do too, Val said gently, and I cringed a little, because she was using her mother tone.
Or we just don't want to let others see us vulnerable. Maybe he didn't want you to have a front seat for that, but I don't think he was trying to push you away, Haley explained.
I ran my fingers over the delicate black embroidery on a fire-red scarf, trying to sort through my thoughts, but it was a pointless exercise. I simply had too many thoughts warring with each other. Haley arranged a strand of hair that had escaped from my braid.
I can't believe he paid off Jeff. Who does that?
I wanted to smack him and kiss him at the same time. I smiled at the memory.
He's a great man, and I love him so much.
Not saying he shouldn't have talked to you about it, but damn, if that doesn't spell love, I don't know what does, Val said.
I nodded, deciding to hang on to that.
I should talk to him, but I'm not sure how to go about it.
Hell no, Val exclaimed. You're not talking to him until we get you to relax. Your back and shoulders are stiff.
Both my sisters were studying me, and then they hugged me tight at the same time.
A Connor sandwich, Annabelle said, finally walking up to us.
Shit hit the fan, huh?
Yep, I said, once my sisters gave me room to breathe.
Well, let's see if the pretties I have here will get your mind off it.
I know what we can do afterward, Haley announced, holding up a finger. We should head out for chips and guacamole. Val nodded.
That's a plan. But first, let's part with our hard-earned money and buy all these pretty things. Nothing helps blow off steam better. I already want 3 scarves.
Hey, how about a tattoo, too? We can hit up a parlor around Venice, Haley suggested.
I glared at her. No need to get crazy. I'm not letting anyone come near me with a needle.
Annabelle surveyed the 3 of us, raising a brow. Do I need to worry about you girls? Haley waved her hand in dismissal. Not at all. We've got a brother with a badge he's very fond of. If things escalate, it's his brotherly duty to save us.
Chapter 30. I was giving Lori a few days to calm down, some space to think everything through. The conversation in the car had gone to hell, and I didn't want to repeat the experience. I'd said some goddamn stupid things. The more I thought about it, the more stupid they sounded. Simply put, Saturday had not been a good day. Years ago, when I'd made that deal with Dad, I thought it was the smart thing. He'd be set up financially and wouldn't be around to cause trouble. But trouble seemed to find him anywhere. Clearly, my way of solving the issue had just swept the problem under a rug. I saw that now, and I was going to make some changes. I didn't know what they entailed yet, but I was working on it. The phone call with Nana had made me question myself and the way I handled things. Hearing Lori question me as well didn't help. It wasn't an excuse, but it was the truth. Had I been wrong to give that jerk a check without talking to her first? Sure. I'd known it was a bad idea while I was signing the check. He might come back for more in the future. Lori was right about that. The last thing I wanted was to disappoint her or make her unhappy. I'd gone through that with my divorce already. I needed to explain all this to her. I loved Lori fiercely, but she had to understand one thing about me. When something bothered the people I loved, I took care of it. Simple as that. I'd always done it, and I wasn't going to apologize for it. I hoped Lori would see that. If not, there was no alternative. I refused to lose her. If she didn't understand, I'd explain it to her until she did. Whatever it took. I admitted my technique could use some refining, and so did my communication skills, but I wasn't going to lose her or Milo over this. Just the notion made my chest twist. In any case, we still had things to work through if her first conclusion had been that this was too much for me. She'd seemed past logical reason at that point, but her words had to be based on an underlying fear. On Wednesday, I headed to the club early. The team was coming back from their away game later today, and I wanted to prepare a pep talk. We'd suffered a brutal defeat, which was an especially tough pill to swallow after a string of victories and the celebration on Saturday. I wanted the guys to know I believed in them, despite that. The mood was grim when I entered the club. The usual chatter coming from the PR and marketing department was a whisper. I poked my head inside to greet them. Come on, chin up. It was just a defeat. We'll get back on our feet in no time. Amber, do you have time to go out to the stadium and double-check if everything is ready for tonight? The stadium was rented for a concert this evening, and I wanted to verify for myself that everything was running smoothly. Sure thing. She rose from her seat, smoothing her palm on her belly. At the stadium, we started by inspecting the stage. They'd started transforming the arena on Monday. Building the stage and the requisite light installations took time. We checked in with the sound technicians as well. Everything was running according to plan. The concert was sold out, so the stadium would be at its full capacity. Lastly, I went over the emergency evacuation plans with the head of security and floor operators. Let's sit down a bit, Amber said once we'd completed our tour. We headed to the chairs in the VIP section that had been arranged on the arena floor itself in front of the stage. I tire so fast it's not even funny, and I'm sleepy all the time. Amber brought a hand to her mouth to cover her yawn. If you want to take time off, I don't. I'm not sick, just slower than usual. After a few beats, she folded her arms over her belly. So, are you going to bring me up to date? On what? How did the talk with Lori go? I hadn't intended to tell Amber anything, but on Monday morning, she took one look at me and knew. Haven't spoken to her yet.
I thought you wanted us to come out here as an excuse to gossip.
God forbid we actually work, huh?
Why didn't you talk to her?
I'm giving her some time to cool off.
How much time exactly do you think she needs?
I figured a few days would be good. I've got some things to explain, and I want her to be calm when I do that. I saw on your calendar that you have a meeting with her today. I want to go in your place. Amber punched my arm.
I knew you hadn't really dragged me out here for work. Thank God. How do you know I'm meeting her?
You put baby shower planning in your work calendar, which is synchronized to mine.
Any reason you're hijacking my date instead of getting one of your own?
I want to take her by surprise. Their lunch date was in 90 minutes. That still gave me time to buy flowers. I wasn't big on flowers, but I wasn't about to show up empty-handed after our fight. Where are you meeting, anyway? There was no mention of a location in your calendar.
Griffith Park.
After she told me the exact location in the park, I kissed her cheek and took off. First stop, the nearest flower shop. I wasn't going to lie. My palms were sweating a little when I entered the park. People were milling around in the alleyways, their chatter forming a constant background noise that was punctuated by horn blares now and again. As I drew nearer to the ice cream truck, I spotted her. She was sitting on a bench with her legs crossed. Her dress reached mid-thigh, displaying her beautiful skin. She didn't see me approach because she was bent over a large folder that no doubt contained some samples or pictures for Amber. Her blonde hair was hanging over one shoulder, fluttering in the light breeze. She straightened up when I sat next to her.
I was expecting Amber.
I'm a much better date, though, I said with as much cockiness as possible, hoping it would help her relax. A very small smile tugged at the corners of her lips. I held out the flowers. These are for you. She closed the folder, pushing it behind her, taking the flowers in her arms. The vendor said she'd mixed tulips with roses and freesias.
Thank you. They're beautiful.
I shifted closer to her. I want to tell you many things, Lori, but I'll start with the most important one. I love you. I'm crazy in love with you. Occasionally, that might make me do crazy things. I know I'm a bit of a hothead, and that I act on impulse. But I promise to work on that, to talk things through with you. On Saturday, I wasn't pushing you away. Not exactly. It's hard to explain what was going on in my head. I guess I was disappointed in myself, and I didn't want you to see that. On a deep breath, I added, I didn't want to disappoint you.
You didn't disappoint me, Graham. Not at all.
Lori buried her nose in the flowers, then lowered the bouquet a little, and seeing those sweet lips parted slightly, I went in for a kiss. Sighing softly, she opened up for me. I wanted to kiss her until she'd climb in my lap, but we were in a park. I had to consider that.
I'm sorry I overreacted. That wasn't okay. You deserved better than that. I promised to do better. And I'm sorry I pushed so much.
She muttered when I let her go.
I shouldn't have. I was feeling a little insecure, and I was afraid you were slipping away from me. I love your crazy love and your protectiveness.
Hearing those words from her was all I needed to feel whole.
But I'm strong. I want you to know that. Even if I look shaken, that doesn't mean I can't handle things.
I know you're strong. It's one of the things I love about you. I played with a strand of her hair, then pushed it behind her ear. It was time to bring up something else.
Whatever happens, I want you to know there will never be a day when I don't want you and Milo. He said the words gently, cupping my face in his big hands. I understand why you have that fear, but I need you to trust me, to trust us.
I do.
Obviously, I know it was wrong to write that scumbag a check.
I don't like that he got money out of you. I don't like it at all. I know you meant well, but you understand what I mean about making decisions together, right? I asked.
I do. I promise that I do.
So we'll work together in the future? Not just on this, but also the problems with your dad and Nana.
We will, he assured me. But know this. My instinct will always be to take care of the things that might upset you. Tell me how I can make it up to you.
You don't have anything to make up for, but if you insist, I can think of a few things, I said coyly,
running my forefinger from the button of his polo shirt to his sternum. He looked at me with those blue eyes I adored. They were full of love and heat. The latter sent a sizzle so hot through me that I involuntarily shimmied my hips. Graham slyly raised one corner of his mouth. Could this man not tempt me like this in broad daylight? I knew he wasn't doing it on purpose, though. It was just his irresistible sex appeal. Yeah, I can think of a few things, too. He pressed his forehead against mine. I love you, Lori, and I have great plans for us.
Oh? Care to share them with me?
He pulled back a notch.
I think I'll leave you guessing for now.
I laid both palms on his chest, debating how I could lure this out of him. Blackmail? Nah, too early in the day for that. Seduction? That could work. But we were in public, so my plan was a bust. Besides, I liked surprises. That didn't mean I didn't want hints, though. You really aren't going to tell me anything, are you?
No, I don't think I will. You're adorable when you're curious, and I'm good at making you fret.
Don't be so full of yourself. I can resist your charm if I have to. His eyes flashed. I liked to provoke him even more than he liked to make me fret.
When you put it like that, sounds like I don't have much going for me.
I didn't say I was immune, I pointed out, and then I started counting on my fingers. You've got a lot going for you. See, you have these unique talents in the kitchen and the bedroom, plus you charmed my son and my siblings. That's no small feat. And you... He feathered his lips on my neck, and I lost not only my ability to speak, but also my trail of thought. When he placed open-mouthed kisses on my sweet spot, I squirmed and fidgeted. Then I felt the tip of his tongue slide across my skin, too. Oh, this vile man. He wasn't going to sweet-talk me into anything anymore. Once the tongue was involved, I knew he was going to seduce me. Graham, I half-whispered, half-moaned. I was already hot and bothered, and he was only teasing my neck.
I'm taking you home, Lori. I'll share my plan for this afternoon, he whispered on a growl. Starts with you under me. I'll love you until you cry out my name. That's a promise.
I love your promises, I muttered. We had the entire day to ourselves, since Milo wasn't coming back until tomorrow.
I intend to make good on every single one of them.
Graham kept his promise and seduced me thoroughly that lazy afternoon at my house. He was kissing every inch of skin that wasn't covered with clothes. His hands were busy methodically ridding me of said clothes. Every morsel of skin he revealed, he traced with his lips. He kissed up my left inner thigh, then the right one. Then he buried his mouth in between, stroking me with his tongue until my legs nearly gave in. I was standing in front of the bed, and I was afraid I'd topple on it any second now. My clit was on fire. With every lash of Graham's tongue, the heat spread along my nerve endings. Pressure was building inside me. He kissed my tender flesh until he brought me so close to climaxing I almost saw stars. But then he pulled back, laying me on the bed.
Not yet, sweetheart. I promise I will make you come hard, but not yet.
I kissed his chest as he climbed over me, rolling lower to trace the line of his abs with my tongue, feeling his erection across my chest. Graham pulled me back up until our mouths were level. He captured my lips, sliding in his tongue, kissing me ferociously. This man wasn't just kissing me. He was making love to my mouth. I became so turned on from his kissing I felt I would combust soon. I brought Graham's hand to my clit. He slid two fingers inside me, groaning against my mouth when he realized how slick I was. Pressing the heel of his palm against my clit, he moved his hand rhythmically, driving me crazy. My body was at his mercy. His tongue explored my mouth, his fingers filled me, his palm worked my clit. I exploded all around him, bracing my palms on those muscle-laced arms. I felt him move slightly on the bed, then heard him slide on protection before he pushed inside me.
Oh, 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 Graham.
My inner muscles were still clenched tight from the orgasm, and Graham slid in a few inches.
You feel perfect.
Another inch.
Perfect.
I rolled my hips then, taking in all of him,
reveling in the exquisite pleasure. He loved me until we were both satiated and spent. Every afternoon should be like this, I declared a while later, after we'd showered and returned to bed. I can make it happen. Graham bit my shoulder lightly. His hands were naughty again. He was propped against the headrest, and I was lying with half of my back against his chest. One of his hands was circling my nipples, turning the skin on my breasts to goosebumps. The other was drawing small circles on my lower belly, inching dangerously close to my clit. Your hands are wandering a lot today, I admonished. They are, aren't they? Entirely your doing. How do you figure? He kissed one shoulder, then the other. You're the one tempting me. Oh, I see. So you're not going to claim any responsibility? His lips spread in a grin. None whatsoever. I moved one of my hands between his thighs, squeezing his erection. He groaned. You were saying, Graham? Lori. His voice held a hint of warning, but I ignored it, pumping along the length until I was satisfied that he was just as hot and bothered as I was. Then I stopped touching him and swatted his hands away, turning so I was half-straddling him, laying my head on his chest. We stayed like that for a long while, and eventually I asked, What's on your mind, Graham? I can feel your wheels spinning. My dad. Wondering what's the best way to deal with him. I was thinking about asking him to work at the club again instead of just giving him money. Maybe it'll teach him about responsibility. I think that's a great idea.
You do?
Yes.
But I don't trust him handling any money.
How about PR? I saw a few old interviews with him. He seemed good in front of the camera.
He kissed the top of my head. That's definitely a good plan. Amber could keep a close eye on him. She'd love it. Thanks for the idea.
Anytime. Thank you for talking about it with me. I wanted to give this man everything he needed, my love and support, my strength. I cuddled closer to him, then moved on top, propping my chin on his chest, looking up at him. Graham feathered his fingers up and down the sides of my torso, paying extra attention to my breasts. I squirmed against him. He groaned.
You have more ideas, huh?
His voice was rougher now. I licked my lower lip. Plenty. He cupped my ass with both hands, squeezing a little.
Why don't you show them to me right now?
I'm trying to decide which one to pick first. A few days later, after Milo fell asleep in the evening, Graham brought up Jeff.
My accountant said that he hasn't cashed that check.
Wow. Why, do you think?
Talked to one of the club's lawyers. He said Jeff's likely waiting for the malpractice suit to be over to cash it. Otherwise, he could lose that money, too. I want my lawyer to draw up a document for that scumbag to sign that he'll never bother you and Milo again. And if it's okay with you, I'd ask him to give up parental rights, too. I'd like Milo to see me as his dad one day.
I swear my heart grew in size. I'd love that, Graham. I'd love it. Jeff didn't give in easily. His first reaction when we approached him with the document was to ask for more money. Then Graham and I brought out the big guns, setting up a meeting with Jeff and a sharp lawyer. I made it clear to Jeff that not only would I drag him through courts for the accrued child support, but that we'd accuse him of extortion, too. When the lawyer and Will, who'd insisted on attending the meeting and flashed his badge at every turn, explained to him that cashing Graham's check could constitute proof of extortion, which is punishable by 2 to 4 years in prison in California. Not only did he agree to sign our papers, he also returned the check and gave up his parental rights. See, brother? I teased as Will, Graham, and I stepped out of the attorney's office. The badge does work on someone. Will winked.
Works on everyone I'm not related to.
Graham kissed the side of my head, pulling me into a half hug.
Let's go pick up our boy from school.
Chapter 31. 2 months later, I asked Lori to let me pick Milo up from a play date. My official story was that I was taking him to try out some new soccer equipment because he was outgrowing the one he already owned. We were going to shop for new equipment, but that wasn't all I had planned for today. While I waited for Milo, I scrolled through my emails. There was one from the lawyer who'd handled our issues with Jeff. I'd asked him to keep us informed on the outcome of the malpractice suit. The final decision had been reached last week. Jeff lost every penny he had to his name and the right to practice. He had it coming. As for my father, I was trying out the new arrangement Lori and I came up with. I told him that the monthly payments would stop. From now on, he'd pay his debts and earn a living as an employee of the L.A. Lords. He'd seemed pleasantly surprised that I'd allow him to be involved with the club again. My hope was that the job would make him grow up, especially because he'd be working under Amber's strict supervision and PR and didn't have any direct access to the club's funds. Our interactions were as awkward as ever, but Lori insisted that would change with time. Maybe it would work out. I wasn't holding my breath, but it felt right to make that change. "Are we really going to the store?" Milo asked the second he climbed into the car. "Yes, we are, buddy." "Can we go to the toy store, too?" Since I was liable to be talked into buying the entire store if I said yes, I shook my head. "We promised your mom we'll all go together next time, remember?" He jutted out his lower lip, but didn't press the issue. I loved the little rugrat. I couldn't wait for him to have brothers and sisters, but all in due time. We arrived at the club store about 30 minutes later. It was almost closing time, but I'd already arranged for Christy, the vendor on shift, to keep the store open longer for us. Milo was ecstatic as he tried on jerseys and shoes. He didn't need a new ball, but I bought him one anyway, because he'd been eyeing it since we stepped inside the store. "What do you say to pizza for dinner?" I asked once we strolled out.
"I love pizza. Is Mom coming too?"
"No, just the two of us. I need to talk to you about something." He eyed me cautiously.
"Am I in trouble?"
"No, not at all." I ruffled his hair, but he didn't seem to relax.
"Okay, I love pizza."
"Me too, buddy." I led him to an Italian restaurant one block away from the club. It was one of my favorites. They used wood for their pizza oven, and the smoky smell was thick in the air. They made the crust thin and crispy. The wall paneling imitated natural stone, which made for a relaxing ambiance. Since it was relatively early for dinner, there were few patrons. I was a regular here, so the owner, Enzo, came to greet us. He was thin with olive skin and black hair on which he'd painted green strands.
"Graham, finally getting to bring your little one here, too."
He patted Milo's shoulder. I liked the sound of that. "Your little one." "Yeah, I'll bring Lori around soon, too. I promise." I turned to Milo. "What do you want to eat?" Milo tore his gaze away from Enzo's hair.
"Can I have lots of pepperoni on my pizza? And onions?"
"One pizza with pepperoni and onions for him, and one with cheese for me," I said to Enzo. After he left, Milo looked at me expectantly. He was still nervous about what I had to say. I'd planned to wait until dessert to lay it all out for him, but I decided to switch things up. "Here's what I wanted to talk to you about, buddy. Your mom and I have been together for a while now, and I love her very much. I love both of you, in fact." He swallowed hard and fidgeted in his seat, but he didn't say anything. "I want to marry your mother, and I wanted to first talk to you, man to man, ask if you're okay with it." Milo cast his eyes downward to the tablecloth, fiddling with a fork between his hands. Something was clearly eating at him, but I couldn't figure out why. I could only wait for him to open up. Eventually, he looked up and asked,
"So you will always be with Mom and me?"
"Yes, I will."
"You won't leave?"
Punch straight to the gut. He'd become tiny while he'd asked the question, hunching his small shoulders. I chose my next words carefully. "No, Milo, I won't leave. I promise. I love you both, and I'd like to be part of your family." He played with the fork in his hand some more. I could tell he had other questions, and I waited patiently.
"If you marry Mom, will you be my dad?"
"Yes, I will be."
"So I can call you Dad?"
My smile seemed to encourage Milo to smile too. "Of course, I'd love that."
"That's so cool. I never had anyone to call Dad before."
Something twisted in my chest. I wanted to hug this kid.
"So you'll do Dad things with me?"
Milo continued.
"Come to Parents' Day? Buy presents for Mom on Mother's Day?"
"Yes."
"Can I tell everyone at school I have a dad now?"
he continued, almost as if he couldn't believe it. My chest twisted some more. Absolutely. So what do you say? Do you give me your permission to ask your mom to marry me?
Yes, you have my permission.
Epilogue. 1 month later.
Wake up, sleepyhead, a soft voice murmured. I yawned, but instead of opening my eyes, I scooted closer to the source and was met with Graham's clothed chest. What the heck?
Per my request, my man was sleeping only in boxers, so I could feel him up every chance I got. But now he was wearing a shirt, and by the feel of it, jeans, too, which meant he'd been up for a while. I blinked open one eye, then the other. Through the glass wall of his bedroom, I noticed the sun was high up in the sky.
What time is it?
10.
I love lazy Saturdays. But you had a meeting this morning. How come you're home?
The word still felt a little foreign on my tongue, even though Milo and I had moved in here a week ago. Graham had asked us to move in a while ago, but we had to wait until Milo's school year was over. I liked my house, but I loved the villa more. There was more space, and the view of the ocean was simply amazing. Moved it to Monday so we could enjoy the morning together. I detected an edge in his voice.
Nervous about tonight? I teased.
Not at all. We'd invited my family for a barbecue on the beach. They were set to arrive at 6 o'clock. Milo had a sleepover last night, and Will was picking him up on the way here. That meant we had the entire morning just for us. Graham's gorgeous eyes twinkled. He was planning something, I could tell. But what? He braced his forearms by my sides, caging me in. He kissed my neck, then kissed even lower, swiping his tongue over one nipple. Because we'd negotiated a tit-for-tat arrangement when it came to pajamas, he'd sleep without a shirt only if I did too. At the moment, I was at a clear disadvantage. I was squirming by the time he moved to the other.
What a way to wake up, I whispered on a moan.
Graham moved farther down, skimming his hands over my waist and hips. His mouth was marking a red-hot trail everywhere he kissed. My breasts, my stomach, my belly. When he nudged my thighs apart, I readily opened for him. He swiped his tongue once over my entrance, taking my clit between his lips. A bolt of heat zinged me. My hips swung upward of their own accord. A small tremor coursed through me, spreading from my center right to my toes.
I want you, I muttered, lifting myself up on one elbow and reaching for his shoulder, tugging at his shirt.
I pulled at the fabric until he relented and moved up until his mouth was level with mine. I took off his shirt as fast as possible, then the rest of his clothes. He trapped me under him, rubbing his erection against my inner thigh, teasing me. I rolled my hips invitingly, and he entered me the next second. He loved me slowly, slipping a hand between us, strumming his fingers over my clit until I exploded, taking him over the edge with me.
I don't think my body can handle so much sexiness first thing in the morning, I whispered, curling in his arms.
Practice makes perfect. I could definitely get used to it, with more practice.
And since today is a lazy day...
Graham pulled back a little, kissing my knuckles, motioning with his head to the door. We still have some of your boxes to unpack. Thought we'd make some headway this morning.
I hid under the covers. I think I'll go back to sleep now.
Come on, lazy girl. You heard what Nana said.
If you have to swallow a frog, do it first thing in the morning.
We'd visited Nana last month, and I adored that woman. She also gave great advice, so I should shift my lazy ass from the bed. But I wanted to try one more time.
I have better ideas, I peeked from under the covers.
Unpacking first.
I wasn't going to win this battle, that much I could tell. Perhaps it was a good thing, because if I had it my way... those boxes would remain unopened until Christmas.
Okay, okay. 20 minutes later, I joined Graham in the living room. While sipping my morning coffee, I surveyed the small mountain of boxes tucked in one corner.
I could swear it was smaller yesterday, I muttered when I finally dragged myself closer.
On top were 4 identical small boxes that looked unfamiliar, but that wasn't saying much. I'd been in a frenzy while packing. I started with the first small box. It was empty, except for a card with one word, Will. I frowned, trying to remember if these were supposed to be samples of wedding keepsakes. Boxes with printed poems on a card were not uncommon. Both the box and the card were definitely elegant enough for it, rectangular, with a glittery texture. I opened the next one, hoping it would shed some light on the mystery. Another card, another word, you. My heart started beating a little faster. There were two other boxes. Out of the corner of my eye, I tried to locate Graham in the room, but he wasn't in my line of vision, so I surmised he was somewhere behind me. My fingers were shaky when I opened the third box. Mary. I covered my mouth with one hand, blinking at the word. Then I opened the fourth box and arranged all the cards next to each other. Will you marry me? I felt Graham come up behind me. He brought his mouth to my ear and whispered, Marry me, Lori Connor. You're the sweetest and strongest woman, and you have my heart. Nothing would make me happier than knowing you want to be my wife, that you'll trust me to make you happy for the rest of our lives. Will you be my wife? Will you and Milo be my family officially?
Yes, yes, yes. I want to marry you.
He put an arm around my waist, flattening my back against his chest. Looking down, I noticed a ring in his open palm, a beautiful princess-cut diamond set in a platinum band. Even without a ring box with the Bennett Enterprises logo on it, I knew this was one of Pippa's creations.
This is my vow to you and to Milo. I'll always put you first and love you.
Oh, Graham, I love you so much. My hand was shaking when he slid the ring on my finger. My chest was so full of emotion that I didn't know what to do with myself.
Turning me around, he pressed his mouth to mine. We kissed as if we hadn't kissed in weeks. It felt like our first kiss all over again. I hadn't been expecting this. After all, he'd been wary of marriage when I met him. I'd accepted it because I knew it didn't mean he loved me less. Yes, strange line of thinking for a wedding planner, and especially for me, but I was happy living with him and loving him. I didn't need a ring on my finger. Of course, that didn't make me any less ecstatic for actually receiving a ring. When I felt him hoisting me up in his arms, I wrapped my legs around him on instinct. Where are you taking me? I asked, holding on tight.
Upstairs to celebrate. We can unpack later.
My family started arriving at about 5:30. I was waiting for everyone to be here before I showed them the ring. Val and Haley were the first ones. Val had brought her signature homemade barbecue sauce, and also some perfume samples for us to test and give our opinion. Landon, Maddie, and their newborn daughter Willow arrived next.
She's lovely, isn't she? Maddie said as I cuddled Willow.
Oh, yeah.
Can't believe she's finally here. Though my belly still looks as if Willow's in there.
You are beautiful. Landon kissed her cheek, and Maddie affectionately rumpled his hair. I loved seeing my brother so happy. Every time I saw them, they seemed even more in love. I dashed to the door to greet Will, Jace, and Milo, who'd just arrived.
Hey, big boy, how was the sleepover? I asked.
He barely wanted to come with me, Will supplied.
We watched all the Harry Potter movies.
He wrapped his little arms around my waist in a hug.
We didn't sleep.
At all? I shook my head in mock disapproval. I'll have a word with Lionel's mom and dad at soccer day next week. We had soccer days even in the summer vacation.
They want to meet Graham. I told them he's coming with us. He is, right?
Yes, he is, I confirmed. Milo grinned, letting go of me as Val called his name, and dashed toward her.
So my presence at soccer day is no longer required, Will said.
Jace pointed his thumb at Will.
If you ask me, he's sad about it.
I knew Jace was teasing him, but in truth, Will did look a little dejected. I slapped his arm playfully.
Hey, you're always welcome to come. Or you could always find yourself a girl and get the ball rolling.
Will smiled devilishly.
Hey, how about moving this party to the beach? Haley called out. Let's get the grill started. I'm starving.
After grabbing plates and supplies, we all descended to the beach. The sun cast a warm glow, but the breeze was almost chilly. This was officially my favorite place in town.
hearing the waves lap against the shore, feeling the soft sand under my feet. While part of the group was in charge of the grill, others were setting the table. Graham and I were on bonfire duty. We wanted one for effect and roasting marshmallows. Once everyone was taking a break, waiting for our dinner to be ready, I cleared my throat and held my hand out for everyone to admire my ring. I'd kept my hand in my pocket and out of view until now, so they wouldn't notice the ring accidentally. "We got engaged this morning." Graham kissed my temple as everyone came forward to congratulate us. Milo was the first one, followed by my brothers and Maddie. Val and Haley hugged me at the same time. But as the girls pulled back, I studied their expressions carefully. They didn't seem surprised. I realized neither seemed the others. "You already knew, didn't you?" I asked. "He asked my permission," Milo piped up.
"And he talked to all of us at a Friday night dinner about a month ago when you were out of the room," Landon added.
"We helped with the ring," Haley said on a grin. "That was fun." Will and Jace each gave me bear hugs, and I briefly wondered when these two would settle down. Our soccer star wasn't quite ready for that. Our hotshot detective, on the other hand, I'd seen the mopey look on his face at Landon's wedding, like he was secretly hoping his turn would come soon. When Will's turn came, he was going to fall hard. I sized my man up and down, and then I pulled him away from the group. "You planned this thoroughly," I whispered.
"I did."
"You've been full of surprises lately."
"I have a lot more up my sleeve."
Lacing my arms around his neck, I pulled him a little closer, smiling against his lips. "Then it's a good thing I agreed to spend a lifetime with you." This has been Wild With You, Book 2 in the Connor Family series, written by Layla Hagen. Narrated by Sebastian York and Andy Arndt. Copyright 2018 by Layla Hagen. Production copyright 2018 by Layla Hagen. Production coordination by Lyric Audiobooks. To learn more and subscribe to the author's newsletter, visit LaylaHagen.com. Andy Arndt and Sebastian York are members of SAG-AFTRA.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.